Say I don't. We preachers are the lionest things. We'll close four times before we ever get started so we can get them out of the way. It's what's on my heart. I was actually reading over this last night when Brother Josh sent me the message, asked me could have preached tonight. Told him I'd be an honor to. It's my pleasure. And like I say, I don't know if I've ever preached this here before or not. I know R.G. Lee, I don't know if y'all are familiar with that name or not. He was very popular for a message called Payday Someday. If I ain't missing it, I think he preached that message 600 and something times in a row. And great results from my understanding. And God does give certain preachers. Y'all may remember a gentleman by the name of Bobby Thompson. He was very popular for preaching on eagles. He done a lot of preaching on eagles. I am not of that caliber, I promise you ain't, but I am saved by the same grace and same goodness and same God that saved them, amen. But I want to preach or kind of teach on tonight on eternal choice, evidence of conversion, and eventual contact. Y'all remember me asking prayer about this time last year? Matter of fact, it was back in June. I call them Abraham and Sarah, brother. Rhodes knows who I'm talking about. He was 90 or 91, and Miss Margie was 83 or 84, and I wound up marrying them. And he passed away a couple of Sundays ago. And then I got asked to do his funeral at the graveside, and this is kind of what I was teaching on and preaching on here. And is eternal choice. Whether you know it tonight or not, we all make choices. We do. And I want to go before I say anything else. It matters not if you're premillennial. It matters not if you're amillennial. It matters not if you're general resurrection. Whatever flavor you want to choose to be. If you miss accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you miss getting born again and having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it matters not what you do for an occupation. It matters not what your last name is. It matters not how much or how much you don't have in the bank or what your reputation is. If you miss accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's over. As a tree falls, so shall it lay. And I had this conversation with someone today. You're known by the fruit that you bear. A tree is known by the tree that it bears. Apple trees don't produce figs. Lemons don't produce oranges. You're known by the fruit that you bear. So an eternal choice is something that we all are faced with. In the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15, if you read the verses before and verses after, they're put in a position, in a place where they've got to make a choice. And you get to chapter 24, verse 15, it says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And I think it says in the middle of that verse, if it seem evil unto you to serve your Lord, little L-O-R-D, well then, can I say not adding to or taking away? But what he's pretty much saying, well, go ahead then. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I say tonight we need some men of God that will step up and be men of God? Forget who I think I shared with Sister Natalie. She had asked me about some rebellious, and I'll take for that wonderful thing that we all call diabetes. And it does help. But still, with all the medicine you take, you have the responsibility to kind of watch what you eat and don't eat and exercise and all that, and you can tell I... Anyway, had a great doctor's appointment. A1C went from like 7.8 down to 6.8. And my weight's still hanging on about the same, between 150 and 153, which if it is, it is. If it ain't, it. My weight's not a big concern to me. Never I do remember when me and LaDonna married, I weighed 115, 120 pounds. David, y'all might remember that. I was a twig. I was a stick. Little bitty thing when I married her. I weigh about 100, 150, 52 now, something like that. But you got to make a choice to do what the doctors, your doctors say. She's asked me about the rebellious and all that, and I told her, and I was telling her what the doctor had said, and boy, Miss Brenda, I was hamming it up. that twig of a girlfriend that Caleb has, Bailey. She goes, how the doctor's appointment go? I told her, Brother David. She said, well, said, I told him went from 6'7", 8" down to, I think, a 6'8". She asked me if I'd been going to the gym, and buddy, I started hamming it up. Buddy, I started doing this right here at the supper table. I started doing that right there at the supper table. And she goes, what do you ask that for? I said, well, she could tell I'd toned up some. She asked me if I'd been to the gym. I said, the gym of life. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, I've been handling firewood. I said, I've been busting wood. I've been handling, unloading, loading, and unloading, and loading. I said, that's what I've been doing, been working. I've been doing tree jobs. I said, I've been out working. She goes, well, so why you ask that? She said, I can tell you've toned up some. And this is what she says. She goes, well, said, I said, I ain't heard nobody else say that. She goes, people that are around you every day ain't really going to notice it because they see you every day. But the doctors or people that ain't around you, they'll notice that because they see you in periodics of time. Boy, it hit me. I'm glad, Gary, that on the May the 19th, 1985, 10 minutes to 12, and I agree with Brother Josh on this. Sometimes a lot of people make it more about the date than you get saved. I shared this today, but on May the 19th, I made the eternal choice to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Best decision bar none I've ever made in my life. It's the only decision really that's ever changed my eternity, eternal. Eternal means, matter of fact, I wrote it down and I took a picture of it, and I want to read to you, and Brother Josh is rubbing off on me. He uses his electronics. I'm not electronically minded, but I am learning to do some things with it. It says, lasting or existing forever without end or beginning. That's what eternal is. Did you know that there's never been a time, God ain't never been God? Matter of fact, God cannot change. If he could change, he wouldn't be God. According to Malachi chapter 3, there's never been a time he's not been faithful. He's God, eternal. But we got to make the eternal choice. In chapter 24, Joshua, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And we need some men of God, Brother David, that's going to step up and take our children to the house of God and raise them in grandchildren. Stand firm, whether your family agrees with you or not. In-laws, outlaws, cousins, whatever. Preachers, I don't know how many preachers we got in here tonight. Stand firm on the King James Version of the Word of God. Without wavering. Without giving in. Without compromise. Choose you this day whom you will. I choose to preach the gospel. In that funeral I was telling you about, I was at the gravesite, I shared this, and while we were meeting, you know, I went with them. It was the day of our homecoming when he passed. I went from here straight to their house, and we were sitting there, and we was all talking at the table, and they had asked me would I take part in it. I said, I'd be glad to. It'd be an honor and pleasure to. And then the grandson, one of them said, well, we don't want preaching. We don't want this, and we don't want that. And I just kind of let him go through his spiel. And I said, well, it's like this. I'm not trying to sound rude. I'm not trying to sound haughty. I'm not trying to sound arrogant. I'm not trying to sound bitter. I'm not trying to sound mean. I'm not trying to be anything else but what God has called me to do. I will read any scripture as long as it's King James Version. I will read any poem as long as it does not degrade him. I will sing, do my best to beller out a song if it's what you want. But when it comes time to preaching the Word of God, I don't, if my wife was sitting here tonight, I'd say it with her in here. I don't even allow my wife to dictate what I do and don't preach. We're men, we're called to preach the gospel. Our job is to share the gospel. God's message is the virgin birth, death, burial, and resurrection, and God's method is preaching. For God chose the foolishness to preaching to save them that believe. Amen. It ain't much to me, but I've been called by God to preach, and I shared with him. I said, I will share the gospel with you. According to Matthew, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, the first 16, 17 verses, Paul defines what the gospel is. Very beautiful in there. I said, I'll do anything y'all want, Lord, and don't dishonor God. I said, but when it comes time to stand, I'm going to give you the gospel. We got to make an eternal choice to do that. Man, we need some men of God that's going to stand up and preach and teach the Word of God without fail, not out of haughtiness, not out of bitterness, not out of anger. Let me back up for a second right here. Another conversation. That same gentleman had asked me, he said, "You ever missed it in the pulpit?" I said, "Yeah, I have. Shame to admit it to you, I'm human. I've missed it. I have preached what God wants me to preach and struggle in doing it. I believe when a man of God stands to preach the gospel, I believe at that particular time, the fiery darts of hell are being shot at him. Because he is preaching something, Brother David, that's going to change somebody's eternity. This is life. This is life. We hold right here the most powerful thing. Brother David, I'm trying my best to save up for a 480, a Ruger 480. I had one time, you could stick your thumb down in a hole, that barrel. I'm wanting to conjure my wife up, let me plan a trip so I can go to Montana and kill me a grizzly. That's what I want to do. But according to this right here, Hebrews chapter 4, it's the most powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword. It deals with our eternity, eternal choices. What we have. Joshua 24:15, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Mamas, can I say this? Won't you be, support your husband. If he's preaching and teaching the Word of God, and he's doing his best to work a job, and I ain't talking about these little boys where their britches hanging halfway down their hiney and they don't want to work a job, all they want to do is stay at home and play video games. Get a life, man. Get right with God and get a job. If your husband's doing his best to work a job and help pay the bills and do this and help do what he can around the house and outside the house, inside the house, be supportive of him. If he's teaching Sunday school, give him that extra time in the mornings or whenever he goes to study to give him that ample time to study because what he's doing, he's teaching and preaching something that's going to change somebody's eternity. Eternal choices. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Children, I know they all up there tonight, but we got some youngins running around here. They need to be reared up. And it matters not how old they are, they all make mistakes. Well, I'd be 50. Lord, can I just turn 58 in January? I know I'm a youngster to some of y'all. I'm still a kid. Amen. Preach it, brother. But I think we all still make mistakes. Eternal choices. If it matters not what you do, your name is. If you miss accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, it matters nothing else. Eternal choices. I also believe tonight, according to the Word of God, there'll be evidence of conversion. I had someone call me out on this at that funeral. They asked me, "This is what I said, Miss Brenda. Listen closely. If you is what you was, you ain't." Let that sink in. If you is what you was, say it again, Sister Linda. Either that or his Bible's wrong. I ain't saying you're not going to fail. Look at the prodigal son. Probably one of my most favorite stories in the Word of God to teach and preach on is the prodigal son. He knew he was his father's son. And you know the story. Then he came back. A lost person, Brother David, has nothing to come to. Unless it's conviction. I believe there's evidence of conversion. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things are become new." If you feel like, I've shared with someone here lately, I kind of feel like I'm at a stalemate. It ain't God that's changed. It ain't God that's changed. If your salvation has gotten dull, if your walk with the Lord has gotten dull, gotten dry and dusty and seem to be pale as a corpse, it ain't God, it's you. Or become new. Well, can I say this, Brother David, tonight? This is life. I mean, buddy, you flip the pages and turn and read. It's life changing. Life, eternal, Brother David. It's life. I believe there's evidence of conversion. I believe you'll be a new creature. Gary, I don't know if you were just a little runt running around somewhere, but I remember telling my dad this the day I got saved. I come home and I told him. And I had no idea what they went through. I hadn't back at White Oak Springs and right the day before Larry, my brother next to me was born. I had no idea all that was going on. I didn't know. But Dad asked me, what do you mean you got saved? And I told him. I said, Dad, don't think I know till you. I got saved. I got born again. Saved. I knew nothing about the Word of God. I'd heard the gospel preached my whole life. Off and on at White Oak Springs, driving the church bus, and Jim Denson come pick us up on a wagon pulled by mules, and we go to Cali Harbor from time to time. Heard the gospel preached, but can I tell you when it got real, David? That Friday night in my girlfriend's living room, and the Holy Ghost singing me out, and I realized right then I was lost and I needed something. Amen. Couldn't wait to get out of there and learn to turn them coon dogs loose. Miserable and uncomfortable. Thank God it happened, though. But I remember telling David, Daddy this. Daddy, you remember that van that you had? Remember he bought it from a Chris Waddell? And I think he sold it to somebody, and what they done, they took and they cleaned it all up. Same color, Brother David. The van was the same color on the outside. But on the inside, it used to be a work van. Daddy had his toolboxes and stuff. Did you frame houses? And that's what he had, all his stuff in there. And it smelled like a work van. It looked like a work van. But whoever took it, I forget who he sold it to, but they cleaned it up. They put captain chairs in it. They put carpet on the walls and on the floor. Put a good CD system, or radio. Didn't have CDs in, but I think it went from 8-track to cassettes. Y'all remember the cassettes? They're about a thing of the past now, ain't they? I said, on the outside, Brother James, it looked the same, but on the inside it was a brand new thing. I said, Daddy, that's the only thing I know. Tell you what, that's what happened to me. Holy Ghost birthed on the inside of my heart. It's the only thing I know to tell him. But there's evidence of conversion. Did you know that in the book, I think it's in the book of Acts, where Paul is standing before Felix? Brother David, he's standing there. And might I say tonight, Christianity has always faced politics. It always will. We're going to face it. We're going to fight it. And if the government really had their way tonight, they'd have this place shut down and let's have a bar here. I know it's unpopular with a lot of people. I know some people say you ought to keep politics out of the pulpit. I personally think you ought to preach on it myself. What Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the minor and major prophets did, but it ought to be about the gospel. Moving on, but Paul standing before Felix. He's all chained up. He shares his testimony with him. How he was on the road to Damascus and had letters in his hand to put people in jail. And he saw the light. I mean, he goes into full detail and tells Felix that. I think Felix goes, I'll wait for a more convenient season. See, we got right choices and we got wrong choices. Unless that Bible's real, and it is, unless I'm missing something, I've never read in there where Felix ever came to a more convenient season. I personally believe he's in hell tonight. With the rich man, according to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Right. Hell's real. Just as, Brother Dorsey, the amount of time we've got here and started fellowship until I'm right now, a people has slipped off and made their eternal choices and went to hell. I know it ain't popular. It gets preached on here, and it should be. Jesus preached on hell more than he did heaven. Then you flip over a couple of chapters later. I think it's chapter 23, 24, can't remember which one. I got it wrote down up there. But Paul's in prison for 2 years. They made a sport out of him for 2 years. Send him to Agrippa. Agrippa, they call all the political dignitaries in. They stand before and they bring Paul out and they go, gonna make a mockery out of him, so to speak. Paul tells his testimony again. And Agrippa goes, thou almost persuadest me to become a Christian. Felix and Agrippa both made their eternal choices right then and there. They did. I believe as long as you're breathing, Holy Ghost of God can deal with you. No matter what age you are. Who are we to limit? I think Josh said a couple of weeks ago, who are we to limit the power of God? Who are we to say can and can't? The grace of God hath appeared unto all mankind. And to the proof of sovereignty of God, when that was written, when the holy men of old written that, wrote that, Brother Dave and Brother Gary, when they wrote that, I wasn't even born yet. Right. But the grace of God.
I wasn't either, brother.
But the sovereignty of God and the proof is still alive, Brother David. Whether we live 50 more years, people's going to hear the gospel. There's a remnant, Brother Dorsey. It runs all the way through the Word of God, and I'm glad I'm part of it. There's a remnant. Brother Kenzie, there's a remnant. I'm glad I made the eternal choice to be on the winning side. But I say to you, we got right eternal choices, wrong eternal. I believe those are just two. There's several more. Now, let's talk about some right, wrong choices that Felix and Agrippa made in the rich man in Lazarus in Luke 16. How about some right choices? How about that lady in John chapter 4 at the well? Boy, she went back and told everybody, come meet a man, told me all there ever was. Shared the gospel with him. They come back and they heard him preach and teach and believe themselves, and many got saved. How about the maniac of Gadara? Nobody could do anything with him. Matter of fact, nobody wanted to do nothing for him but contain him. Ain't nobody, if I ain't reading it wrong, nobody won't offer him no help. All they wanted to do is put chains on him, put him out there. I say to you tonight, there's people that need our help. I'm sitting there, Brother Dave, boy, broke my heart today. I'm sitting at the red light there in Cedartown, and these two females, one dressed like a man, one dressed like a girl, hugging, kissing, walking down on the sidewalk, holding hands. Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. I said, look at that, man, that's a shame. Holy Ghost said, yeah, but they need God. I had to deal with it at Pleasant Harbor. But when you deal with situations like that, you learn to be graceful. You don't want to push them away. And I feel too many times we preachers get in the pulpit and blast it pretty bad, but we don't ever offer help. We don't ever do it with grace. Yes, it's wrong and it's out of hell. I said it. It's wrong and it's out of hell. Brother David, they need help. Maybe nobody's ever given them the clear presentation of the gospel. I turned around, went back and tried to find them. I was going to give them a card and talk to them. Y'all remember last time I was preaching here and I got shared with you a conversation I had with a guy that was sitting behind McDonald's in front of Home Depot and Tractor Supply in Cedartown. Sits there all the time. And sometimes, I think I share this, Miss Brenda, sometimes when I get to preach and teach, I share conversations when I get all caught up and get hammered. And sometimes we say, when I make it sound like I talk to him like I am when I'm preaching, but I really wasn't. I did go back and talk with him. Yes, I bought him some supper. Sat down beside him and I just gave him a clear presentation of the gospel. He said, yeah, that's all right. I'm going to get all I want. If I go to heaven, go to heaven. If I go to hell, I go to hell. So what he said? I said, brother, sir, whatever, you need help. I say to you, these people out there that have made wrong choices, they're there. But I'd say that maniac Gadara, nobody wanted to help him. But man, at the end, Brother David, he is seated and clothed in his right mind. The woman of issue of blood done spent all she had. Well, that doctors will take all you got. Some will. Some will take all you got. Well, preachers will take all you got. But she went to Jesus. Jairus' daughter, laying there, a political figure. Went, made the right choices. I believe there's evidence conversion. The Apostle Paul himself, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, it said, it said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown laid up for me, not for me, and all those that love his appearing. And boy, he made some right choices. The Apostle Paul was Saul before he got saved. But man, Brother David, every time he stood, he let them know his eternal choice that he was going to serve the Lord. This is the gentleman that sat at the feet of Gamaliel. You're talking about educated. He was educated. He was smart. Smart decision he ever made. And I'll get to sit down beside him one day, Brother Levi. Have a conversation with him. Paul, tell me what it was like to see that light. Oh, tell me, Paul. Tell me what it was like to be able to stand before Agrippa. Tell me what it was like to be on the bottom of that ship in Acts chapter 27, and you being a prisoner, and you got on along with God, and God spoke and called you by name on the bottom of that ship. Tell me what it was like when that ship busted apart, and you were hanging on to a piece of wood, and you made it safe to shore, and you stuck your hand to build a fire, got bit by a viper, and you shook it off. Tell me what it was like. I'm Brother Jack. I'm going to be able to sit down beside him and have that conversation. I'm going to be able to sit beside Jesus too. Move over, Dave. You've been there long enough, buddy. We're talking about evidence of conversion. Apostle Paul was ready. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. Henceforth, that the crown laid up for me, not only for me, but those of his parents. He was ready. There's evidence of conversion. I do believe there's dying, Brother Nathan, I believe there's dying grace to God's people. I believe that. I believe there's evidence of conversion. You'll be the same. If you is what you was, you ain't. If you can live any way you want to and proclaim to be a child of God, and there's never no punishment or chastisement come to you, according to that word of God, you ain't got it. I ain't saying you ain't going to backslide. No, I do not believe you can lose your salvation. Wasn't up to me to earn it. It ain't up to me to keep it. I'm kept by the power of God. I cannot be plucked out of His hand. That Bible's a lie, and it ain't. I believe the book is the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs. If I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. Brother Rowe, he's the Almighty. I believe his evidence of conversion. You can look at all the disciples, third, not least. Eventual contact. I said this in that funeral. Not everybody that dies goes to heaven. I've had to tell both sides of my family, don't put me in that pulpit at your funeral. Expect me to put you to heaven when you live like hell yourself your whole life. I won't do it, David. I won't do it. I won't do it. I'll step back, sit down. I've not took part in some of my wife, and she's not here tonight. She's at the hospital for me. But me and her both agree. I didn't take part in a couple of their funerals because they knew they couldn't control me. They wanted me to do what they wanted me to say. I won't do it. Can I borrow your Bible? When it comes time to stand and preach, I'm going to give you this right here. It's the only thing that's going to change your life, eternity. This is it. This is yes, at Bama Gilead, yes. No, you're right. But eventual contact. I shared with y'all about when I went to see that lady, Miss Frances Goins, when I was pastor at Pleasant Arbor and she's laying in the hospital, and I go up and I'm sitting beside the bed. There's a lady here, and then her, and she's laying there in the bed, and she was like 93, I think, and we knew she was time, and she knew it was time. And I go up to her, Brother David, and I ask her, I said, now, Miss Frances, this question is for me as much as it is you, but it's also for you, but it's for me too. But I want you to know it's really for me. She goes, Brother Billy, will you please hurry up? I'm kind of running out of time. That's what she said. And so I asked her. I said, do you know that if you leave out of here before I leave, if you check out of here before I leave? They said, she goes, grabs my hand, Brother Billy, of course. And she went right back in and told me when she got saved and all that. We get ready to leave, and the lady's sitting beside us, and it's in my Bible somewhere, I had to find it. Stopped me and talked to me, and we had prayer about 3 weeks later. Dansby Funeral Home over there in Piedmont, Alabama. Is you Billy Hicks, pastor at our Baptist Church? I said, I am. He goes, are you sitting down? I said, yeah, I am. I said, I've got a request for you. He said, Barry, don't sit down. Can you beat me here? Anyway, to shorten the story up, this lady, Sister Tara, had asked me to preach her funeral, but she wanted me to preach on hell at the funeral home, and then she wanted me to preach on hell at the graveside. Can I tell you why she wanted me to do that? Because her kids wanted nothing to do with her. They wanted what she had. She served the Lord most of her life, and I never met her before then, never met her after that. But yet I had the privilege of preaching her funeral. And while I'm preaching, God let me preach as hard as I could, as humble as I could. It's hard to preach on hell and be humble. Might not be for you, but for me, boy, I poured my whole heart into it. Sis, while we at the graveside, and I'm describing what hell is, the weeping and gnashing, the outer darkness, the flames. He said, I am torment in these flames. While I'm preaching, pouring my heart, as the gentleman stands up and he goes, I've heard enough of this. Sister Brenda, I had a direct conversation right with him. I said, sir, I said, I'm trying my best to be as humble as I can. I'm going to do my best to honor what this lady requests because it's my job to preach the gospel to you. And she asked me to do this. And the only thing that's going to keep you out of hell is the gospel. If you die into the condition you're in right now and what you're proclaiming, I pray that God gives you grace and you accept Christ as your Savior. Had a conversation with him. While I'm preaching, he left mad. But I hope that word of God is powerful. It will not return void, according to Isaiah. It will accomplish the which it is sent. But it's up to you whether you're going to make an eternal choice to accept it or not. But I'm talking about eventual contact. Not everybody that dies goes to heaven. Shorten the story up a little bit. This is not, and I am premillennial. Matters not what you are. If you're born again, I can worship with you. It's just when I'm on that white stag, I'm going to look over and tell you I told you so. But it don't matter if you preach that or what you, but if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it don't matter what millennial reign you believe in. Revelation chapter 19, those that have made the eternal choice to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, we're going to be on them stallions coming back. We're going to be spectators. Matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 5, they worshiping the Lord right now. It's going on right now. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty. It's going on right now. While we here, you don't stop at Revelation chapter 3 and shut it off. You got to take the whole Word of God from beginning to end. It's all good. But Brother David, of those that accepted Jesus Christ have made their right eternal choice, we've been coming back. But the sad part is this right here, and I believe the saddest scripture in all the Word of God is this. In chapter 20, those that made their eternal choice not to accept Christ as their Savior, they're brought before the great throne of judgment. And whosoever name is not found in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, and that is the second death. It matters. I believe. And whether you want to meet him or not, according to the book of Philippians chapter 2, every knee shall bow. Everything in heaven is going on right now, David. Every cherubim, every seraphim, every angelic, it's going on right now. Revelation chapter 5 is going to bow. Everything in earth, every political figure is going to bow. Every, whether you're not a political figure, you're going to bow.
Amen.
You're going to. Everything under the earth, every devil in hell, every demon, they're going to bow to the glory of God the Father. And that Bible is alive and it's going to come to pass. So whether you want to meet Him, you're going to meet Him one way or the other. Every knee's going to bow. Brother David, I'm glad I made the eternal choice to make the right choice, to accept Him as my Savior. Sister Linda, I want to live a life. I've made my mistakes. I've had my problems. And I ain't looking past nobody else but me. This flesh, God, when God saved Billy Hicks, He didn't save his flesh. When God saved Billy Hicks, He didn't save his mind, your flesh or your mind either. He saved your soul. This flesh is going to rot and go back to the dust of the earth. It is. I want to live a life that's going to be evidence of conversion. I'll never forget, I'm fixing close. Dave, you remember when, I think I shared this with Gary, it's been many, many years ago, right after you got right with the Lord and got, I don't know if you, I think you was already saved, but got right with the Lord and announced you calling to preach. You'd asked me to preach at Ingalls Park. It used to be Walmart at the time.
Youth Revival.
Yes. I've seen evidence of conversion in your life. Your daddy asked me at homecoming, I'm coming to a point with this. Introduced myself to you, told you who it was, and told me and you were good friends, and then your mama, she goes, "Was you as mean as he was?" I said, "We run in different crowds." I said, "Nah, remember Brother Prater when I said this in the parking lot there, that those hardy boys that live up the street from us Hicks boys were saints compared to them." Remember saying that? Don't tell on you, but I want to say, but evidence conversion, didn't we? We all, whether you want to meet Him or not, and I say this as humbly as I know how, not everybody that dies going to heaven. Gary, we got family that's lost. We got friends that are lost. Say it again, Brother Hardy. Neighbors. Up the street, around us, all around us. I got customers, Sister Brenda, I got customers and friends that are lost. And they need to see a difference in us. Need to see a difference in me. I say this with humble as I know how. Whenever I take on a new customer, I do my best to share the gospel and let them know where I stand. The gospel. How I want to close this service tonight, and I do it quite often. I want us all to come to the altar. If you're able to, come and let's pray tonight. Anybody in here have anybody in your family that's lost? Call their name out to God. You got friends that are lost? Call them out to the Lord. Just come to the altar and pray tonight.